there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Matt Abel and Kelly Moore, two fellows from Longtail Designs, to talk about their new product, the Rescue Beaner. Thanks, guys, for being on the show.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Let's talk a little bit about this product that you guys have created, the Rescue Beaner. First, somebody explain to me exactly what that is.
Kelly, I'll jump in here. So the product we designed is based on a carabiner body, which most people should be familiar with, but it has some additional functionality. We've built in a seat belt cutter and a window breaker into the body of the carabiner. So if you're familiar with those little yellow or orange hammers that people use to break windows and cut seat belts, that's kind of what we're replacing. And the idea is that with the carabiner body, you're able to clip the tool right to your seat belt, to your gear shifter, something right there in your car, so that if you're ever in a vehicle accident, a rollover, or you end up in some water, it's right there where you need it. Most of the time, with those little hammers, they tend to be in a glove box or somewhere out of reach in an emergency situation. So that was the problem we were trying to solve.
Mm-hmm. Now, this particular thing is something that a lot of people may not already have one of those little hammers in their cars, but why do you think it's so important that this be in every car?
So for us, the idea was built on giving a first responder something to manage to have on their gear when they came upon an accident and they actually had cut a seatbelt and pop a window. What we've done with this is not only is it applicable to be, you know, with a first responder, with a police officer, a firefighter, an EMT, but it applies to anybody that comes upon an accident. So it's not just about yourself, but it's about the people that you can possibly help if you do come upon an accident and somebody needs help getting out of their seatbelt and popping their window and getting themselves out of the actual car itself for safety.
Now, the design phase, I know that it's kind of odd to, you can put it on anything on a clip. Why create it with a carabiner?
Well, the carabiner, I mean, it's sort of ubiquitous at this point. They're everywhere. People use them for all kinds of things. So not only does it have the functionality we built into it, but it always has that carabiner functionality. So you can clip it on to all kinds of things. You can basically use it as a basic carabiner to carry things or tie things up, whatever. But having that carabiner functionality just makes it very simple to clip to your belt, your gear bag if you're a first responder, but also to a seat belt. The functionality is really the important thing. It just makes it very useful and handy.
Now, is this carabiner, I mean, I have one on my keychain, but it's not very functional. I just use it to clip it onto my purse strap. Is this going to be something that's going to be able to hold weight?
So we won't have it weight rated at this time, but it's a high-quality, heavy-duty carabiner. It's made out of a nice aluminum alloy. So it will support some weight. We only have estimates right now, and I don't want to put those numbers out there at this time. Eventually, we will get it weight rated or weight tested to give us an idea. So it's not going to be for climbing use. It's not going to be that strong. But because of the quality that we put into the build, it will support a significant amount of weight.
Now, is it going to be safe to clip on a seat belt? Is there a concern about cutting yourself if you've got it on the seat, clipped on the seat belt anyway?
No, the design for the seatbelt cutter, it actually has a guide that is both a protectant for the blade, so you can't get fingers or anything in there by accident. But it also, in the event of an accident, it's built to all you have to do is kind of catch the seatbelt and pull, and it will guide it right into the blade.
What about the part that hits the glass? I mean, is it sharp?
No, it's not sharp. It does come to a fairly fine point, and we made that out of tungsten carbide. And the tungsten carbide is such a hard material that it shatters glass very easily. So it doesn't have to be sharp. It just comes to a fine point, sort of like a ballpoint pen, maybe just a little bit finer than a ballpoint pen.
Now, with this this being your first product coming out of Longtail Designs, what kind of inspired you to focus in on this product first?
Kelly, you want to take this one?
Yeah. For us, when we first started down this process, down this road of inventing things, Matt and I spent a lot of time in the beginning just bouncing around different ideas of, hey, could we make something? Is there something out there in the market that we could possibly bring to the table? I think that our initial thoughts were, we'd always, Matt is an industrial engineer by trade in a little way. He's been able to have some industrial engineering experience, so he can draw, which I cannot do. And he's able to take the information and the things that we talked about and put them on paper so we could hand that off to a design engineer. When we initially came up with this idea in January of 2016, it just happened to be a really good discussion that this was one of the things that just kind of came to fruition. As we bounced it back and forth between each other, we realized real quickly that, hey, you know, this may be something that we could make that isn't in the market that could make a difference. So as we started to not only kind of flesh that out ourselves, we reached out to a lot of different people, mentors of ours, that just to run it by them and see what exactly was out there and what they thought our possibility of being successful was. We've not had a pushback yet. We've had ideas and people tell us, well, you know, here's some ideas on how to improve things. But the basic functionality, the basic design of the rescue beaner has never really changed. It is it's something that people see the tangible benefits to. The ability to cut seconds down in a response time can mean everything. So we've had a lot of positive feedback, and so we've used that as fuel for us to continue to move forward and improve this product to make it something that, if I hand it to a firefighter or a police officer or an EMT, that it's a professional grade tool. It just happens to be a carabiner.
You said that you got the idea in 2016. Let's talk a little bit about the process from just an idea to actually manufacturing these.
It has been a long process, and we've had to learn a lot along the way. We actually didn't really set out with the intention of manufacturing. Our original idea was, if we can come up with a concept that's good enough, other companies that are willing to, that already manufacture, would be willing to license our idea and make it themselves and sell it under their brand, and we would just get a little bit of a licensing fee. And we had some interest in that, but it never really materialized, and we kind of ended up having to go down a road we weren't originally planning on. Of manufacturing. So we started with, like Kelly said, sketches of the concept, the design. We then worked with 3D engineers to create a 3D file. Then we 3D printed those. So now we can hold a plastic model in our hand and start to get a feel for it, and then start to refine it. And we refined it and worked with it and tweaked it and made lots of changes over the last several years, and part of that was getting it to the point where it can be manufactured. Our original design, it hasn't changed a whole lot from the original design, but the original design was not really manufacturable. And so that was some of the changes that we had to work into. It was, okay, we have the functionality and what we wanted to do, but how can you produce this at a reasonable cost? And so we just kept refining it, kept working on it, and now we're to the point where we're working with manufacturers and trying to get it made. We've got manufacturers identified. We've worked with some. We've had them produce some prototypes for us that look really good, and we're just trying to get to that final design stage and finish it up and make this a reality.
So now you guys are doing a Kickstarter campaign to kind of get that part off the ground?
You're exactly right. So the Kickstarter campaign will cover the costs of initial manufacturing, which is all the tooling and everything you need to create these in mass numbers. So that's the main goal of the Kickstarter, is to get us over that hump to where we can actually manufacture these and put them out there.
How much money are you hoping to raise in your first Kickstarter go-round?
Our first goal is $30,000. That will it's a very small number. We're obviously hoping to shoot for something much higher, but that is the minimum we feel we need to be able to turn on the machines and get these things out the door.
And how many of these items will be produced, these rescue beaners will be produced with that money?
Roughly about, some of it depends on how they decide to donate, but roughly 1,000. That would be the minimum that we actually go and place an order for, and we would ship out would be 1,000 units.
Like Kelly said, we're hoping to really be much higher than that, far beyond those numbers of 30,000 and 1,000. But it all depends on the support we get on Kickstarter.
Right. Now, will you do sales online?
Eventually we will, yes. After the Kickstarter campaign's over, we've already built out a website with an online store. And then we're also pursuing retail opportunities and, you know, possibly venturing into Amazon and things like that.
So the marketing aspect, I guess, is a big part of planning to do this launch.
It's huge. Absolutely.
Did you work with an outside group to plan for that, or are you guys just kind of doing it together?
No, we actually have a company out of Cincinnati called Big Media Creative. We were introduced to them, I guess it was around Christmas of 2018, and they jumped on board, and we found a good spot, and they've been the ones helping drive our logo design, help us create the picture and the branding of what we want to be able to show Longtail becoming. They've been a real great help in trying to point out what Matt and I need to be focused on and how we need to brand this, not only this product, but the company itself. They've done a great job in mentoring us and driving this ship as we move forward into the launch. They're the ones that are currently handling our website, our Kickstarter build, our trademarks, our logos, and we expect to have them on for the long term.
Okay, and on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
On July 27th, 2012, WMKY was granted a license by the Federal Communications Commission to serve the public interest as a public trustee until August 1st, 2020. Our license will expire on August 1st, 2020. We filed an application for license renewal with the FCC. A copy of this application is available for public inspection at www.fcc.gov. It contains information concerning the station's performance over the last 8 years. Individuals who wish to advise the FCC of facts relating to our renewal application and to whether this station has operated in the public interest should file comments and petitions with the FCC by July 1st, 2020. Further information concerning the FCC's radio license renewal process is available at this station's address, 132 Breckenridge Hall, Morehead State University, Morehead, Kentucky, 40351, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, or may be obtained from the FCC at www.fcc.gov.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Morehead State Public Radio. Today we're talking with Matt Abel and Kelly Moore about the Rescue Beaner, a brand new product that they're launching. Guys, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about your marketing strategy. I know you're launching the Kickstarter campaign, but what are some of the other things that you're doing to get your product out there?
So, unfortunately, Kelly and I are not really big social media guys. Like, that's not really something we actively participate in any great way. So, we're a little bit out of our comfort zone, but obviously, in this day and age, social media marketing is key to success in a lot of stuff. So, what we're doing with that big media that we mentioned earlier is they're helping us create videos and content that we can share on different platforms. So we have the Kickstarter page, but we're also going to have our Longtail Designs Facebook page and Instagram and all of those various platforms. And we're going to try and put things out there that people can see us, get some recognition, see the product in action, and focus all that energy back to Kickstarter at the beginning. And hopefully make the Kickstarter campaign successful.
Now, what are some of the things that people are going to see on those videos?
So we've got demos of the product. We actually kind of ran a scenario where we put a friend of ours in a vehicle, completely safe scenario, but we had her cut the seatbelt and break the window. We also did some cleaner, just sort of simple tests, like here's it cutting a seatbelt, here's it breaking a window. Not so much of a scenario, but just an example of the product working. So that'll be part of it, as well as some like 3D rendering showing the features and things like that, so that everyone has a good idea what it does, what it looks like, and how it works.
I guess you probably tested out a few prototypes to make sure that they worked before you did the video.
Yeah, absolutely. We did a lot of testing on various prototypes, and we ran into some hiccups with different quality of components, and we've had to improve that, but we've got it down to where the quality of the razor blade we're using cuts through a seatbelt almost instantly. I mean, I can't give you time, but it's less than a second. And then the same thing with that tungsten carbide tip, it shatters that window very easily. You don't have to be strong to shatter a window. The gal that we used in our scenario was a pretty small girl, and she broke a window easily, very easily. And that's the idea. We wanted to cut the seatbelt and break that window very easily, very quickly for anybody, no matter how big and strong or not big and strong they are.
Yeah, I think that as someone, especially a female, I would be a little concerned with my own physical ability to break a window.
You would have no issues with this tool.
Yeah,
I'm it's sure.
My apologies.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's one of those situations where we wanted to make sure if it's going to be your go-to tool, that it's going to work and we're not going to have to worry about it. It is made to cut your seatbelt and pop your window no matter who you are. As long as it does that, all of the other things that it can do as an accessory or as an additive, has additive features for being able to hold weight and do other things in your life, that's fine, but it will pop your window and cut your seatbelt.
I think this would be a much more affordable tool for first responders to have than some of the more expensive equipment that they are purchasing to do the same things.
I would agree. I've seen a lot of products out there. There are multiple types of hammers. People have them on their knives. They'll have blade cutters on their knives. What people fail to understand is when it actually happens and you're in that situation, there's a couple of things that we see that we bring to the table that others don't. Number one, it is, if you have it on your seatbelt, it's close to you and you have access to it. You don't have to dig into your pocket to try to get out a knife. You don't have to go look for a hammer. So it's right there, ready when you need it. The second thing, we've seen a lot, and we've done a lot of research and testing on our own stuff and comparing it to others. One of the things that we found is a lot of seatbelt cutters will bunch. So it doesn't just, well, you don't get to cut it and it just slides through. There's a lot of pulling and tugging as the blades are not quite set up or they're not as good as you might like to have. And not only that, we cinched it down and created this little sleeve, this little space to be able to let that seatbelt slide in. It allows that seatbelt to prevent the bunching. So we've done a couple of things that are really important to make sure it does it and does it very effectively. There's just a lot of products out there that are not specifically made for this, and they've just added a couple of ideas or accessories that they can do these things, but we're doing this solely to be able to break the window, to cut the seatbelt, and get yourself out.
And while we were developing this product, actually AAA did a study on products on the market that already did this. And what they found was that several of the products actually didn't work or didn't work very well, or they only worked one way. They may break the window, but they didn't cut the seatbelt, or vice versa. So that was really interesting for us to realize that, man, there are products already on the market that people are buying that don't really work in an emergency situation. And we wanted to make sure that our product worked easily every time.
Now, this particular product is kind of born from Eastern Kentucky, and Kelly, I know that you have some Moorhead connections that kind of inspired this product.
Yeah, so I grew up in Wyoming, but my family's all from Eastern Kentucky, West Virginia. My family moved back from Wyoming in 94, and I began attending Moorhead State in spring of 95. I actually graduated in spring of 2000. So we have a couple of our investors are from Moorhead. Our connections to a lot of things, not only people, money, mentors, have come directly from Moorhead State and Moorhead as the community is concerned.
With the carabiner, you kind of think about the ability to hike and to rock climb. Did that play into the design at all?
Absolutely. Matt and I are gearheads first and foremost. We both have experience with rock climbing. Matt does a lot of trail building. So he does a lot of rigging for pulleys to be able to move things towards. He moves big rocks around and creates trails. So his experience in that, my experience in rock climbing and the outdoors have definitely played into making sure that we have something that is functional and works when you need it to work.
And I guess finally, tell me where people can find this online. What's the Kickstarter page?
The Kickstarter page will be Longtail Designs, and it will be labeled as the Rescue Beaner. Our website is www.longtaildesigns.com.
And that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Matt Abel and Kelly Moore from Longtail Designs talking about their Rescue Beaner. Guys, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Moorhead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.